Well, good morning. I'm glad to be with you guys. And yeah, as Clayton said, we're continuing our series, Christianity is a Contact Sport. And it's this whole idea that we're looking at this in these next few weeks of what does it mean for us to get in the arena, right? You know, we've used the illustration of like getting in that that cage or that arena and being part of the fight, you know, going and sharing the gospel with those that are around us. And this morning, you know, as we continue this series, I think one of the challenges that we have, one of the problems that we have in sharing our faith is a lot of times we're just not confident in that, right? We're not confident about going and opening our mouth and entering into the conversation about what it is that we believe about Jesus. Maybe it's because we're out of practice. Maybe it's we feel like we get into that conversation and we might get into the corner and feel like we get pinned in there and somebody's going to ask us a question that we might not be able to answer. There's a lot of reasons for why we don't enter into those gospel conversations and we're hesitant to do that. Can I give a little bit of a confession this morning? There's something that I'm honestly pretty hesitant about myself. It's the idea of deep water. I don't know if any of you guys are like me in this. When I get into a place where, you know, I'm in a lake or I'm out there in the ocean, I'm just not one of those like great swimmers. My mom gave me like swim lessons when I was little at the Y, but it just didn't really stick. And I can tread water and do all that, but I'm just not very confident when it comes to deep water. And I remember a few years ago for my 40th birthday, Kendra and I went down to Mexico, and we were off the coast of Cancun and had an opportunity to do some scuba diving. Kendra wanted to give me a gift of going and doing scuba diving for my 40th birthday. And I was a little nervous about it, just to be honest. I was a little bit hesitant about going and doing that. Well, we went and we did this whole like training thing. Some of you guys have probably done this down there in Mexico. You go and you listen to like some videos and they teach you what you're supposed to know about, you know, the gear. And then they pair you up with a professional, right? Somebody that's a master diver, somebody that knows how to go out and to dive. And they've done it hundreds of thousands of times probably. And so we had this guy, I don't remember what his name was, but he kind of showed us like how to put on the gear and like the backpack and the big tank, and you've got the mask on your face, and there's like something that like helps you to go up and down in the water and all of this. And he's showing all this, and I am listening to like every word as if my life depends on it. Well, because it does. And so I'm focused in on, okay, what is it that I'm supposed to do? And then they took us and they put us in a swimming pool. And it was like, you know, like a kiddie pool. You guys, like, I mean, I could like stand up. There was no fear of me drowning in this pool. But I remember he said, okay, go underneath the water and take a breath and just like get used to it. And everything in my body said, don't do it. This is not what you're supposed to do. We are not designed to breathe underwater. But we did it. And then he took us out to the ocean after we did that. And he said, okay, I know you're a little bit nervous. He could tell. And he said, don't worry. I'm going to be right there with you. If anything happens, if anything goes wrong, I'm right there with you. And I'll help take care of anything that happens. Well, this morning, we're going to have an opportunity to walk alongside a professional, right? And there's a huge difference between, you know, me going out and giving you a lesson on how to do scuba diving or me going and teaching you how to do something that a professional knows how to do and actually having a professional teach you how to do it and walk alongside you in that. You know, if Mandy Sullivan were here this morning, and maybe she is, you know, she's a coach that has performed at the professional level, has been somebody who knows how to do a skill in softball. And if she was you know, going to give you some coaching, it would be completely different than if I gave you coaching and how to do that. And this morning, we're going to have an opportunity, like I said, to learn from some pros, to be able to hear from some pros on how do I step into a gospel conversation and have confidence in doing that. The first one that we're going to hear from is maybe the GOAT of all missionaries not a goat as in, but like a goat as in the greatest of all time, right? The Apostle Paul. And Paul was, you know, we know who he is. He's one of those guys that we just look at him and he was like, whoa, if anybody is a professional at sharing the gospel, it had to be Paul. So let's look at what Paul had to say. He said in Romans 1, verse 16 and 17, he said, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith." Now, Paul, as he was writing this to the Roman church, you have to understand the context of who he was writing to. He's in the middle of the Greco-Roman culture, who valued the logic. You know, when you think about the Greeks, how they would reason together and they would try to understand things that were deep in philosophy. And as he was sharing the gospel in this culture, they would have understood and listened to Paul, and they would have just thought, man, that's really strange. And an almost foolishness, right? For them to hear the gospel in a context of reason, it had to sound like foolishness. And you pair that with the Jewish culture that Paul was in, who would have looked at the tradition of their Jewish faith, and they would have listened to Paul's message of the gospel, and they would have just thought, this is weak. This is weak sauce. And so that's who Paul was talking to, and yet he could say, I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. I'm not ashamed. How could he do that? How could Paul do that in a culture that would have thought that he was foolish and would have thought that he was weak? Well, Paul was a pro, right? And pros know where their power comes from. You know that idea of power? All pro athletes understand where their power comes from, right? Whether it's, you know, they're swinging the bat and they know exactly how to hit it and how to hit it and get the power out of it. Or whether it's a golf swing, I don't know how to, like, there's a golf swing. Whether it's a golf swing, you know, and they know exactly how to hit it to be able to get that long drive. All pros know where their power comes from. And Paul was the same. Paul knew that his power didn't rely on him. It's that idea of doing an activity and knowing where your strength comes from, how to do it rightly. Paul knew that it didn't come from him. What is the power? The power is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We just sang that. That gospel, that message of hope and life, Paul knew that it wasn't about what he did. It was about sharing that message of hope and life, that we are sinners, that we deserve death, and yet Jesus came and he died for us, and he gives us new hope. He gives us new life in him if we will have faith in him. That God saves us from our sin, and he gives us life if we will trust in Jesus. This is God's power, and it's God's power that saves us. It's not anything that we do. It's not anything that we are able to bring to somebody and say, as we share the gospel, that we're going to be able to save them, because we don't have that power. Did you guys know that Paul was afraid to share the gospel? Do you guys know that? In 1 Corinthians, it says this. He said this to the Corinthian church. He says, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." See, Paul, he went to the Corinthian church and he said, "I wasn't with you with wisdom. In fact, I was with you in weakness. I was with you in fear and in much trembling." It wasn't about the way that Paul presented the gospel. It wasn't the mechanism or the method that he used. It wasn't that he had the best argument versus the other, you know, people that he would be talking to that day. The power was in the gospel. And it was in his presenting the gospel that God was able to work. And he was able to work powerfully. See, we have to stop believing that success of sharing the gospel depends on us. Because the reality is, if it depends on us, there's not a professional, there's no pro in this world that can change the hearts of men. There's no one that can do that other than God himself. And it becomes an excuse for us, right? I mean, it becomes that excuse of, where we think, well, if it all depends on me and what I do and what I say, how I say it, then it's not going to happen. We recognize that we're not good enough to share the gospel. But here's the amazing part of this. This is the incredible thing. God still chooses us. God still chooses us to be a part of it. He still allows us to be part of his team. When you think about it, we're maybe the little kid that he pulls off the bench, or maybe the chubby kid, I don't know, that he pulls off the bench and he allows us to participate in his work of bringing the gospel, that power, to people who need to hear it. Have you guys ever heard the term muscle memory? You guys know that term, muscle memory? It's that idea that, the more that you do something, the more it just becomes natural, that it becomes something that you don't have to really think about. It's just something that happens, whether it's swinging a bat or, a golf club or typing on a keyboard. It's that thing that you do, and you just don't have to think about it because your muscle has done it so many times that it just becomes natural. Well, I believe that for us, Our gospel muscles, oftentimes they've atrophied, right? They've gotten weak. How many of you guys have, Clayton has shown you his arm? He had surgery a while back. I know there's like half this room, he loves showing off his arm where he has a scar and all of this. He had surgery a while back when he tore his bicep muscle. In fact, we've got a video of what his arm looks like now. Let's look at that. Real video, guys, I promise. So, yeah, this was after Clayton had had surgery, and his arm has lost that muscle tone. He's lost the ability to have the strength that he had in that muscle. And so now he's got the wimpy arm, and he looks like that, and he shows it off to us. Here's the truth. All pros know that confidence comes with reps. It's that idea of the more you do it, the more you repeat it, your confidence is built. Your confidence is built with reps. I don't know if you guys have been following the Olympics. There's a picture that's gone viral over the last couple of weeks with the Olympics, and it's this Turkish shooter. It's the guy over there on the right-hand side. And have you guys seen this picture, any of you? So this guy's name's Youssef, and the picture has gone viral because he's different than the rest of the shooters. The other shooters look like the other athlete there, and they've got their weird like glasses on that are covering their eyes and like a little lens that helps them. I don't know what it is, but it looks weird. They look like a cyborg to me. So, but this guy Youssef, he's unlike everybody else. He just kind of like stands up there. He gets up there on the stage, in front of all of the world to see, and he pulls out his pistol, and he puts his hand in his pocket, just like, make my day kind of guy, and he points it out there, and he won silver. Like, he just shoots, and he hits the mark. We look at that, and we go, wow, like, that's so impressive. This guy, he's a real professional. He doesn't need all the extra stuff. He doesn't need, all the extra tools in order to do it. He's just a professional that can do it. And there's an element of it that's true, that he has done this over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, we don't see the hours that this guy has stood at the mark and has put ammunition through a pistol to be able to hit that bullseye. For us, it's the same way. The gospel is something that requires for us, the more that we do it, just to be comfortable and to know exactly how it is that we can present it in a way that people can receive it. And the hard thing about that kind of repetition, that kind of endurance for us, is that it takes an intentionality. It takes a purposefulness of sharing, of looking for those opportunities and being willing to step into those conversations. Paul said this in 2 Timothy to young Timothy. He said, "Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching." Paul was encouraging young Timothy. He was saying to him, always be ready. Always be ready to preach the gospel. And he says that we should be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. See, he doesn't give us an excuse. He doesn't say, well, if it feels right, or if it's, you know, if you have a really easy open segue to be able to share the gospel. He says, no, he says, be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. When is the right time to share the gospel? The right time to share the gospel is any time. Any time that you have an opportunity, God is calling us to open our mouths and to share. I remember several years back, Kendra and I, when we were serving on the missionary field in East Asia, and we were a few months into our language study. We had started to learn, you know, some basic phrases and vocabulary to be able to communicate with people. And pretty quickly, we had an opportunity to go to a training to learn how to share the gospel using a method called Creation to Christ. And it's this storying method that starts at creation, and you know that there is one God, and he's the Most High God. He created everything, and it goes all the way to who is Jesus, and what did he do? What is it that he has done for us? And so we went to this training, and the first day, they're just like pouring all of this vocabulary into us and helping us learn some sentences and phrases as we're learning how to share this gospel story. And I remember at the end of the first day, it was just like drinking from a fire hydrant. We were overwhelmed, and they said, okay, your homework for tonight is we're going to send you out in groups, and you know, you guys go and have dinner together, and we want you to look for opportunities to share the gospel and to practice telling the story. Well, I just remember I was freaked out. I was like, this is going to be hard. Like, I'm not going to get through this. I don't know what this is. People are going to laugh. It's going to be bad. And so we went out, and we did it. We struggled. We forced ourselves to go and to just practice sharing the gospel. And the next day we came back, and I remember as we started the day, they asked us, hey, how did it go last night? And we went around the room, and we all got to celebrate and to be able to hear what God had done even in our weak attempts. And I just remember, you know, as we did that, it caused me to realize that when we put in the reps, the greatest encouragement that we can have, the thing that builds our confidence in sharing the gospel, is we get to see God work. We get to see lives changed. And that's what God has called us to do. He's called us to be witnesses of changed lives. And so when we get to do that, we get to celebrate. Well, this morning, the next set of folks that we're going to hear from are some missionaries that we have that are visiting us this morning. I'm excited to have them come and share with us. They, for those of you that are watching online, we're actually going to wrap up our online segment this morning just because of where they serve as a hostile and restricted country where it's illegal for them to share the gospel. And so for their security and the safety of their work, we're actually going to stop our online audience. But as they come this morning,
hey, thank you for joining us online at Central. You just heard the first part of today's message on how to share the gospel like a pro. And right now, in person, we're hearing from some special missionary guests who serve in a hostile and restricted country where it's actually illegal to share the gospel. For security reasons, we're unable to broadcast their faces, but I wanted to leave you with a few thoughts from these missionaries. So if you want to be confident sharing the gospel, the first thing you can do is just relax. We get anxious, nervous, and even fearful when deep down inside, we're worried we're going to screw it all up. But salvation is not on us, it's on God. He's the one who saves. He's the one who does the work. So relax, be yourself, and leave the results up to Him. Also, the more you share, the more you will experience God showing up in those conversations. In a way, it's all about reps, just like an athlete. If you never share your faith, you'll probably never be very good at it. So just do it and keep your eyes open, especially your spiritual eyes open during conversations for a chance to bring it around to the gospel. The more you share, the more confident you will become. And finally, being a witness for Jesus isn't an event or a task you do sometimes. It ought to be an integral part of your life. Sharing your faith shouldn't be a side gig. It should be a part of who you are, at home, with your friends, at work, school, or wherever you go around town. So I hope this has been helpful for you to gain some practical help with sharing the gospel like a pro. And finally, I want to offer this to you. Every Tuesday morning, the staff at the church prays for lost people that we know. If you would like us to pray for someone you know, send us an email to prayer@cbcowasso.org. So that's it. I hope you've enjoyed worshiping with us at Central, where we believe Jesus changes everything.